Welcome to the Bicycle Media Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the health of the cycling industry.
Not a lot of people had that tone that just said, ride whatever bike you want to ride.
Try to really focus and make sure the rider has a great experience.
There's a couple of things about building a custom bike.
What these e-bikes can do.
The customer just wouldn't take no for an answer kind of thing.
So I think in a way we're in a sweet spot where we don't have all this stuff tying us down.
We just discussed about making the cycling industry more welcoming for women.
Their bike mechanic was right there on the floor.
Something that Weir has really done well in the last couple of years is driven by rock and roll.
It's quite hard for them to train when they don't know what they're training for.
Since again, we believe that our bodies are very smart.
We definitely tend to look forward a lot more.
I started to demystify things.
But if you don't have the right staff, that's game over.
You're not selling at that point, you're educating.
Our intent is to educate both motorists and cyclists.
Welcome back, folks. This episode is with Irish cyclist Imogen Cotter, and her career came out of nowhere. Talk to Paul McCarthy. He's with Giant Canada. He's an Irishman. He said, man, I just didn't know about her 4 years ago. However, we had a really cool conversation, Imogen and I, and I really wanted to know a little bit more about how her career came to be, how in just a matter of a few years, she went on to place second at Irish Nationals. Of course, we talked a little bit about her background in sports sciences, sports psychology, the training that she's doing. She moved to Belgium to train, but then just came home for family and just to kind of hang out a little bit and was kind of clamped down by coronavirus restrictions in her area. So she couldn't really train much, back on the trainer, looking to do a lot with Swift and stay motivated that way. So really cool interview. She talks a little bit about, you know, just navigating as a female cyclist. And do brands actually need to build female-specific bikes? So Imogen Cotter, a rising star, pure athlete though, super cool. And I'll let her take it away. Here's my interview with Irish cyclist Imogen Cotter. Ms. Cotter, thank you so much for being on the call this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for such a lovely intro. I'm feeling great about myself now.
Well, we'll let folks know a little bit more about you, but I've been following you for a couple years now, and certainly great to see your career growing and your influence on cycling growing as well. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how cycling entered your life and to where it is now?
Yeah, so I originally was a runner. All throughout my teens, I was quite competitive in running. And at the same time, where I'm living in the countryside, I'm quite far from our nearest town. So I was actually cycling in and out to town so that I didn't have to ask my parents for lifts all the time. And so from there, I progressed into doing triathlons, which was kind of a natural progression. And then after that, I kind of realized, wait, I'm actually kind of good at running. So I started focusing on running. Throughout my teens and up to my early 20s, running was really my number one. I was really dedicated to it. I was doing 5Ks, 10Ks and cross country. And then at the beginning of 2017, my mum saw something on Facebook that Cycling Ireland were holding a talent transfer program. So you had to try out, and if you were good enough, you would go through to the next round. So I tried out and my power numbers were good enough and I ended up making it on to the national track team. So that was in 2017. And I spent about a year or a year and a half focusing on the track until I kind of thought that it wasn't for me. I suppose because I came from an endurance background, I started to think that I should try road cycling because track is quite, you know, high power, shorter efforts. So I started road cycling then in the September of 2018. And now I'm living in Belgium, which is the kind of hub, I suppose, the capital for bike racing in the world, really. So I'm racing out in Belgium with the team now. And I've did my first season last year in 2019. And yeah, unfortunately, I won't really get a season this year, but I'm loving it.
Well, so this begs the question, you know, you were a sort of a short career in cycling and, you know, climbed up the ranks. Again, congrats on second place at Irish Nationals.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about how COVID-19 is sort of restricting some of your training? Because, yeah, there's not a season, but you're still keeping very busy. I see on social media, you're still riding as much as you can, at least indoors, and still waiting to get that mat underneath the bike right now. But Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing to stay busy and healthy for this season, whatever may be left of it?
Yeah, so I suppose I came back, I should elaborate on this. I was in Belgium and I'm living there at the moment with my boyfriend. But I actually came back to Ireland just to visit at the start of the coronavirus outbreak. And, you know, I wasn't really sure how long it would be for. I thought I would be here for maximum 2 weeks. But that was 6 weeks ago. So wow. I've kind of been based here in Ireland since then. So I actually thought that coming back to Ireland might be better for my training because I thought I would still be allowed to ride outdoors. But they brought in the rule here in Ireland that we could only train within a 2 kilometer radius from our house. And I kind of just have made the decision that I'm going to do all of my training indoors because I figure it takes any risk out of it. You know, I would hate to be that one person that crashes outdoors and may take up a hospital bed. So I've just been doing all of my training indoors for the last 5 weeks. And it's actually, obviously it's difficult to change, you know, what you're used to. I'm obviously used to riding outdoors, but I've found it brilliant to be on Zwift and to be able to get my training done. And I've also been able to get some really good quality racing done as well on Zwift. So my training and my plans for the year have changed massively, but I'm still motivated and I'm still doing things and getting my training done every day.
Can you talk a little bit about your post-secondary education? As I understand, you have a Bachelor of Science in Sports and Exercise Sciences. So this is really your pursuit, sports in general.
When I was in secondary school, I was always, like I've said, quite sporty, and I knew I wanted to do something in university that also played up to that. So I decided to do sports science, which, I mean, I thought it would be something different when I went into it. And at the beginning, I really struggled because I had to do a lot of physics, a lot of maths, and I found that really hard. And it did take a while for me to start enjoying the course. But as it went on, I started to realize how I could relate it back to my sport and how it actually applied to real sport. And that's when I started to really enjoy it more. So yeah, I did sports science for 4 years at the University of Limerick here in Ireland.
And as we discussed a little bit sort of off air, sports psychology was some of it. Here we are, we're kind of restricted to indoor and training. Are you using some sports psychology and visualization or some of that goal setting, again, to keep motivated and to really have that? Because there's something different about riding in a pack when you can see your competitors and when you can see the breakaway versus perhaps a screen. But is sports psychology, at least somewhat applied sports psychology, a part of what's been keeping you going these last 6 weeks?
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of incorporating sports psychology into my training and my racing. More specifically, my racing, I would always be quite good at visualizing things. And that came from my running days because, you know, when I was a runner, I would always visualize the end of the race to the point where I would actually put my Garmin on at the end, you know, before I was doing my warm up and everything. And I would walk the course backwards from the finish line. And every like 500 meters, I would stop and I'd be like, okay, with 500 meters to go, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. And that's kind of always been in me to have that visualization, that preparation, because otherwise I don't really feel like I'm ready to race. So I have been using some sports psychology now. I mean, obviously with e-racing, it's not the same as road racing, but I'm definitely setting myself goals and I'm not getting bogged down in, you know, the long term. Oh, will I be racing in August? Will I be racing in September? I'm just trying to stay focused on what I can do to ensure that I'm motivated and able to show up to training every day and give my best and not get sick of it. Because I think for a lot of people at the moment, it's quite hard for them to train when they don't know what they're training for. So I've kind of been setting myself small goals now for each week of, well, this is what I'm training for this week. And for this month, this is what I'm training for. And that has really helped me definitely because, yeah, I feel like my motivation hasn't dropped, but I know for a lot of people it is difficult.
Yes, and that's probably the biggest thing. In an interview you did, I believe, with We Love Cycling, you said you know, one of your sort of prime quotes was "Win the day."
Yeah, that is my favorite quote. I think it's so it's so applicable, definitely at the moment, because I just think turning up and doing your best on the day. You can't worry about will I be fit in August? Will I be fit in September? You just have to apply yourself as best as you can today, and. You know, forget about long-term for the time being.
The podcast is caffeinated by Roasty Coffee Company, a small batch coffee roaster and cafe in Sherwood Park, Alberta. They now offer free home delivery in the Edmonton area and free shipping Canada-wide on orders over $36. Check them out at roasty.ca. That's roasty.ca and order yourself some. So thanks guys for keeping us caffeinated. If you had, again, some advice to female cyclists or those that were athletic in terms of going from a hobby as cycling, you know, cycling just being something they do, or maybe commuting to university, to taking it serious as a true sport, a dedicated sport that they would cover. And how would you guide them to actually picking the discipline? Because you went from track and went, okay, well, wait a minute, I'm an endurance athlete. I should be on the road. How do you suggest that they find their discipline, be it, you know, mountain biking or cross, road, track? How do you, what would your advice be to young girls considering to take up the sport seriously?
Well, I think that if you're going to take up the sport, something that holds back a lot of women is, first of all, the bike. You know, how much do I invest? What should I do first? And I always recommend that you should just get a cheap bike to begin with. Like, and I know that probably contradicts the way a lot of cyclists think, but my first few bikes were secondhand, quite cheap, just to make sure that I really enjoyed it and I really liked it before I made the big jump into actually investing in a bike. And aside from that, I think it's important to start training in groups. In a lot of towns, a lot of villages, you will be able to find a group that will go out on the weekends, and it's great for building your fitness, but also you enjoy the sport. You begin the sport in a fun way, in an enjoyable way, because you're meeting people every week and you're maybe stopping for a coffee, and you don't have the isolation, I suppose, of just training by yourself. So maybe at the moment that won't be possible with obviously the COVID-19 crisis, but you know, when all of this is over, to be able to go on those group rides, that will really, that's the kind of thing that makes you love cycling. And I mean, I have a lot, I could go on all day, but I think an important thing is if you're looking to find your discipline, you know, think of what your strengths are. So for me, I knew I was good at endurance, so I thought I'd be good at the road. But if you're, you know, you might have come from a sprinter's background, then you should maybe give track a try. Or, you know, mountain biking is quite explosive as well. There's so many different, you know, things you can do in cycling. That's the beauty of it. It's not just, you know, it's like four different disciplines or even more than that, you know. But yeah, I think it's important to just see what your strengths are and work off that.
And now we have a different world. Do you think it's important that brands build female-specific frames and componentry? I mean, there's obviously Liv and a few others that have a pure dedication. So bikes designed by females for females. Do you think that's important? Is there a need for that? Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, so I've ridden on a female specific bike before, and I didn't really realize, I didn't feel the difference in it. And I don't really believe in that so much, that, you know, there needs to be a female specific bike. You know, the last two, the bike I had last year and the bike that I'm currently riding this year, I'm on a Cipollini this year. And that isn't a female specific bike. But I think if it's the right frame size for you and you get the right handlebars and the right saddle, I don't think there's any need for it to be female specific, because I believe that you can get comfortable, incredibly comfortable on bikes that are a general frame, but that are just your frame size. Yeah, that's my opinion on it, but I'm sure there's differing opinions.
Talk a little bit about the coaching that you're doing and being coached. I know we're not doing it specifically at the moment, but we talked about new riders entering the sport. I think having a coach helps with the learning curve. helps motivate and give different, perhaps race day management advice. Can you talk a little bit about, being a level two certified and coaching and being coached as a cyclist?
Yeah. So I, obviously in university, I studied sports science, but a few of the modules we did were on coaching and I really enjoyed it. And after university, I set up my own couch to 5K, couch to 10K groups in my hometown. And they were a huge success. And it was something I had so much joy in, helping people who at the beginning, they couldn't run for 30 seconds. And then at the end of the program they did with me, they were able to run a 10K. And that was where I started to think like, wow, I have so much enjoyment from this. And I felt so fulfilled from it. And it kind of took me a while. I've been coaching runners. I coached only runners for a couple of years, but now I've started to do cycling coaching. I'm with a company in Ireland called Panache Coaching. And I absolutely love it. I just love helping people to achieve a goal, to improve in ways they didn't think that they could. And figuring out what works for each athlete and how different each athlete can be. And I just get such joy from it. And I think, I definitely think it is an important thing to have a coach. I have my coach is with Panache Coaching. He's an ex-pro, an Irish ex-pro. And in terms of having somebody who knows what I'm doing now and who understands it and has done it himself, that has been so helpful for me because I can go to him if I have a race. I can say, I can say what skills I use, what tactics I use, and he can tell me this is what you should do next time or this is what you should try today. And to have somebody, I think, who knows what they're talking about and who is really invested in you doing well, that's so important. And I think it's definitely important, even if you're just starting out and you don't know what you want to do. Say you're not sure if you're going to race or if you're going to target a sportive, a coach can help you in every scenario. It doesn't have to be a high level, intense UCI race. I mean, I'm just as happy helping somebody prepare for a local sportive. So yeah, I do think coaching is important.
Yeah, because you touched on technique and tactics. So, from bike handling to, race day management, I think that's important. Can you talk a little bit about how the casual rider gets some benefit out of coaching?
Okay. So at the moment, I'm actually coaching a whole different array of cyclists. I've got people aiming for all different levels of events. And I think at the moment, especially because we don't know what the upcoming events will be, it's interesting to work with people towards different goals that they might not focus on if they were aiming for just towards racing. So you have more freedom now as a coach to say, take a bit of time to work on high end power, or if somebody needs extra base training that you can ensure that they have a really strong endurance base heading into the winter, if they're maybe thinking of targeting cyclocross or just keep on working on their base ahead of next year's racing. So it is quite interesting now as a coach to be dealing with everything that's happening at the moment and really working with your athletes to see what they want to do and how they feel that everything has changed for them. Everybody is individual, so I'm taking it on a one-to-one basis. There's no kind of blanket thing you can do for everybody, but it's really interesting as a coach to see how people are dealing with it. I've got athletes who are living in France and they're on total lockdown and they can't, leave their apartment to cycle. And to see people, tackling that and seeing them putting in the work every day, it's inspiring. It's really fun to see and I'm really enjoying it actually.
Can you talk a little bit about the new race machine that you're riding and your current bike setup and again, changes that you've made from the secondhand bikes you started with?
Yeah. Well, I'm really incredibly lucky this year. I have a sponsor, Cipollini from Italy. So it's an Italian superbike that I'm on. That's the kind of the tagline. And it's the NK1K. So this bike, I rode a great bike last year, but as soon as I got on this bike, it was just like heaven. you know the feeling when you just get on a bike and it's so smooth. So yeah, I'm riding the Cipollini. It's quite an aggressive frame, but it's built for climbing, which suits me quite well. And as well as that, I have my Shimano, my power meter on it. So that's the crank set that I have. And I use Wahoo. I have the Wahoo kicker, and I also use the Wahoo Roam, the Element Roam, as my bike computer. So I've got a brilliant setup. I cannot fault it.
And did that change things? Well, first of all, I'll back up. Have you competed yet with the new bike?
Yeah, so I competed. I was able to do 3 races, I think it was, before the lockdown came into effect and all events were cancelled. And it felt amazing because I suppose on my last bike, it wasn't... So like I just said, this is a climber's bike, but it's also quite aggressive in sprinting. So it's been amazing to, it was amazing when I was able to ride that in a race. And as well as that, I also have never had a power meter on my road bike before this season. So having that instant feedback and seeing that data in a race was brilliant. It was great to see, this is how hard I can push myself, you know, not to go too hard here. And it was excellent to be able to use that instant data.
Is data, do you get bogged down with data now that you have extra data? I mean, beyond, you know, your heart rate and RPM, do you find that you're bogged down? The stats govern you too much? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I suppose that was something I was quite afraid of. And I think that was something that held me back for a long time because I had this power meter, but I didn't fit it to my bike because I was thinking, oh, maybe in a race I'll freak out. You know what it's like if you think you're gone too far into the red, that you all of a sudden your head will go and you'll kind of blow up. Yeah. So that was a real problem that I had before I put it on. I was thinking, will I, won't I? But actually having the feedback was brilliant because, you know, it's less about holding back on power when you're in the bunch, but it's more about how you can use that power when you're towards the front of the bunch. And also looking at your data after a race is quite interesting as well, because you can see, oh, well, I really expended myself here and I put out too much power. I should have just sat back. You know, I should have not done this X, Y, Z. And it gives my coach a lot more to work with as well to kind of see what kind of a race I did. Otherwise, he's just dealing with average speed, and so much can affect that.
Do you think you would love a career that is, you know, fully dedicated to cycling? You've got multiple support vehicles, you've got touring mechanics, you know, you've got a lot more media responsibilities. Would that, you know, career path be something you're aiming for as you look forward?
Yeah, well, I can't imagine my life without cycling now. So I would find it difficult to go into an unrelated industry now. Definitely. I mean, at the moment I'm working with a cycling apparel company in Belgium, and obviously I'm also doing the coaching for cycling. So I feel like my life is quite centered around cycling now, but moving forward, I would definitely love to make a career out of it for myself. You know, whether that was riding or coverage of women's riding, I would just love to always stay involved in it because I think it's such an interesting and fun sport to watch. I'm never bored when I'm watching a bike race, even though, you know, sometimes it might just be the peloton moving along. I'm always just interested in watching what everybody's doing.
How can people follow you this season and stay in touch? And can the panache coaching you do be done somewhat remotely? Can they get coaching from you online as well?
Yeah, so if you want to follow me, I am on Instagram at Imogen Cotter. And if you maybe want to follow me on Zwift, we can ride together. I'm Imogen Cotter on there as well. And yes, my coaching can be done remotely. I coach somebody in America and France, and then obviously here in Ireland as well. So yeah, if you're interested, you can either pop me a DM on Instagram or, you know, an email. I'll make sure there's a link in bio.
Yeah. And I will definitely have some show notes for sure. We'll definitely link to the bike that you're riding and to your coaching, your Instagram accounts. Imogen, it's been so great speaking with you. I think it's so cool that We're speaking across the pond. It's early morning for myself and about dinner time for you, so I won't keep you too long from grabbing some refreshments. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been great and really interesting questions as well.
Big thanks to Imogen for her time. We're going to come back to Canada for our next episode. We're going to speak to professional bicycle mechanic Jessica Brousseau. She's the team mechanic for Live Canada, and she's recently been doing some how-to videos for riders and just helping them navigate everything from changing tires to just maintaining the bike. But her story, again, much like many that we talked to, she loved cycling. She walked into a bike shop, got a job. From there, Jeffrey Bryson of the Bike Room said, "Hey, you really know what you're doing. You should come learn and train at my school." And then she began becoming a teacher, and it really helped her with her confidence. One thing that I love about this particular episode interview with her, and she'll go into detail about it, she talks about how the wheel building industry has been made to, or the process anyways, has been made out to be a little more complicated than she finds it, and how just simple and organic she approaches building a wheel, and she's built over 1,000 of them. So she's got an approach and has had success at it. So really cool to talk to her. We talk about tools. We just talk about the mechanic industry and certainly females in the sport and the importance of a brand like Liv. So really great interview coming up with Jessica. She lives out of her van. So we caught up to her somewhere on the mountains, the west coast of Canada. Really cool cat. Really love speaking to her. So Jessica's up next. Again, as always, thanks for subscribing, sending in your feedback, tuning in, all your great support. We really love it. Again, big shout out to coffee sponsors Roasty for keeping us caffeinated. Stay tuned. Stay well. We'll see you again soon.